Well, that was a bit of a shocker, and certainly probably my first challenge on the job is to see how we can sort that out. Certainly it was not a good image, not an image you want to portray, but that's the reality we have on the ground, and that's what we have to deal with. And in dealing with it, it's about dialoguing with our people on the ground, and our people on the ground have been dialoguing with the relevant ministers in Tonga and the relevant stakeholders in Tonga. And yes, in due course, a decision will be made. The girls are able to play rugby currently in the schools, and also boxing. It was rugby and boxing that was banned. The way the message was transpired was actually not the intention. But again, that being said and done, it was done. Now we have to just sit with the people at the table, discuss with them and how best we can undo what has been done. But as I said, currently as we speak, the girls are allowed to play rugby and boxing, not during school hours, but after school hours, using school properties and also at the club level.
And perhaps you're now in a position to give the people who run rugby at the world level a little bit more insight into the particular problems that the Pacific Islands face, because rugby is so much ingrained in the culture, and when something like this happens, I mean, it's got the news has gone international on this occasion, but there are often things like this happening, aren't there, which are difficult to deal with, and maybe world rugby don't understand that.
Yes, I see my role is, in the Pacific, we have this saying, it's not the message that is important, it's a messenger. And for me as a messenger, going up to world rugby is to show them, in the islands, we may do things slightly different. Okay, it may be not the grit and grind of, this is how it's going to be done, your due process. We may change a wee bit. It does not mean we alter from our values. It does not mean we alter from our principles. Just the road to get there may be slightly different. And that's my big mission to world rugby is, we do things slightly different, but we get to the end results without breaking values and integrity of the sport. And to also showcase to world rugby that in the Pacific, rugby is the be-all of it all. In Tonga, Samoa and Fiji, remittance from our sporting heroes abroad. In Fiji, it's our second income. Our income is tourism, second is remittance. Tonga, it's the number one remittance. The way we see things, rugby is a living in the Pacific. It's not only a sport, it's a way of life. And I can take that on to World Rugby Council. That will be really, really good.
Do you think in the long run that might help to resolve some of the long-standing governance issues? Because Fiji, Samoa, Tonga have all had or are having issues, and they seem very, very difficult to sort out. And the separation between government and those who run the sport as well is a difficult problem in the Pacific, because government is inevitably involved.
In the Pacific, we have people that wear four or five hats, and they sit in four or five jobs. So it is very difficult. We don't have the human resource to spread out. And yes, in the Pacific, government is ultimately involved in everything. So to separate the two, and we're now into that grey area of the government funds teams to these events. So government has the right to get audited accounts and all that, but so you can't interfere. So we have this huge grey area that's opening up now. And as I said, in the Pacific, what makes it harder is you have, like, for me, I sit on a couple of boards. One is a government board, one is an NGO board. But it's been able to maintain that integrity. And for the at the World Rugby Council or at International Olympic Council, any of them, for them to understand that as long as we don't compromise our values, we declare our conflict of interest, yes, we can get through these challenges. It may take a little bit longer, purely because of where we sit in the Pacific. We may do things differently, but as long as we don't compromise the integrity of sport.
So, therefore, although, as I understand it, World Rugby's rules say that there should be no political interference in the running of the sport, so you would categorise it as acceptable political interference, if you like, in the Pacific?
It's not political interference, because when they come onto the table, they actually wear president's hat, the secretary hat. They don't bring on their political agenda onto the table. It's a very, very grey area, and that needs a lot of discussion, a lot more talking about it. How do we actually separate? Okay, signing a register to declare a conflict of interest, is that enough to ensure that you don't bring... We don't know. We don't have any evidence behind how do we separate the two. But there will always be... I don't use the word interference. The word I use is there will always be people sitting at the table who wear three or four hats. How do we manage that? That's what I'm going to take to World Rugby. And if we can get help and advice from people who know better, who have been through the process, we can learn from other countries who have been through the process, then we'll take our learnings from them. But in the Pacific, it is what it is. And how do we work to solve? If you say no government interference, sport will not exist in the Pacific countries. That's bottom line.